Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have to tell you that I received quite a big compliment this week at VBS, and I'm still feeling pretty good about it. In one of the younger kids' classes, I don't remember which one, kindergarten or first or second grade or somewhere in there, I had told them something that they weren't sure exactly if that was true or not. And so I said to one of the boys in particular, I said, "What, don't you trust me?" And he said, in all seriousness, "Oh yeah, I trust you. You're the smartest person ever." So I was feeling pretty good about that. So you know what I said after that. I said, "Here, let me take you to my wife, Valerie. You should get it."
Yeah.
Of course, sadly for me, there's a difference between knowing it all and being a know-it-all, right? I'm pretty sure I've mastered the second and miserably failed at the first one. I am a know-it-all. I'm sure you all are well aware of that, because the problem is, so are all of you. It's kind of a problem that we have, and in today's gospel reading, Jesus talks with another know-it-all, one Nicodemus. So I'd like to encourage you to listen and to consider what Jesus has to say to know-it-alls like us. But first, before I get to Nicodemus, I think it's also helpful to understand where this whole know-it-all thing comes from. It goes way back in our ancestry. And it's not just that we're Americans, because Americans kind of think they know it all. No, it's further back than that. And it's not just if you have ancestry in Germany, it's not that stubborn German know-it-alls. This goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, their knowledge was perfect, right? They knew perfectly. They knew God perfectly. They knew each other perfectly. It was just pure bliss. Adam and Eve didn't have these debates like husbands and wives have today about who was right, who was wrong. Didn't care about that. They didn't try to one-up each other, you know, who knew more about these plants and animals in the garden? No. They didn't sit there and debate about why God told them not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, they didn't speculate about it, push their opinions on each other. They just trusted. They just trusted God. It was simple. It was perfect. God said if they ate of it, they would die. So, hey, they believed. They knew it was fine. But then comes the serpent. That dreadful, devilish know-it-all. And he tells Eve, "Oh no, you won't die. No, if you eat of that fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, what's he telling them? If you eat the fruit, you will know it all. And that's exactly what happened, unfortunately. She ate the fruit, Adam ate the fruit, and then we became a bunch of know-it-alls. Now we think, oh, we're like God, even better than God. And from that moment on, they were know-it-alls. They quarreled with each other, they debated each other, they pushed their ignorant opinions on each other, and then their sons did what? Killed each other. Such is the great life of being a know-it-all. See, what happens when we're a know-it-all is we don't trust God. Okay? We think that we are going to figure out the world all on our own, and then we'll see if God agrees with us. We'll basically tell God what we've all figured out about the world and say, "This must be what you believe too," right? We don't trust his simple words like, "Don't eat of that tree," "Don't have these other gods," "Don't misuse my name," "Remember my word," "Honor parents," "Don't steal," "Don't lie." But instead, we make up our own rules and we call them God's rules. So if you can kind of see, if I may be doing a poor job, but what I'm trying to get at here is if you think you know it all, then who do you think you are? You think you're God. That's the temptation, to be like God. That's exactly what Satan tempted them with. We each make ourselves God, a know-it-all, who thinks we're God, who thinks we know better how to handle the world than God. So now fast forward all the way from Adam and Eve to another know-it-all, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was, by his standards of that day, a pretty knowledgeable guy. He was a ruler of the Jews. And so, no doubt, you know, this guy knew all of it. He knew all the rules. He knew everything that made someone a good Jew. He knew exactly what God thought about everything, because of course he knew exactly what he thought about everything. And of course God thought what Nicodemus thought. So no doubt about it, Nicodemus and God, hey, they had it all figured out. So now Nicodemus, he goes to Jesus at night, because why? Because he wants to make sure that Jesus also knows everything that Nicodemus knows, right? He's got to make sure. Now, Jesus, you understand everything that I understand, right? You know everything I know. And this is, of course, just exactly what we do, right? God, you know I'm right about this, right? You understand what you have to do here, God, right? You know, I'm asking you to do it, but you understand this is the right way. So goes Nicodemus. He's not coming to God to learn anything or ask for anything. He's coming to Jesus to show how much he knows. But here's Jesus, the master of dealing with know-it-alls, right? He's had lots of practice with like Peter and the other disciples. So he knows how to handle know-it-alls. So Nicodemus, he comes. The first thing he says is, Rabbi, we know. Oh, do you now, Nicodemus, right? You know, huh? You're going to tell Jesus what you know. Well, look at how Jesus responds. And this is just classic. He basically just ignores the very thing Nicodemus said. This is how you deal with a know-it-all. Just ignore what they said. So Jesus ignores him and goes right for the jugular. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, as we talk a little bit about Nicodemus here, the question you have to think about is, why and what is so hard for him to accept here? What is it that he just really can't understand? So Nicodemus says back to Jesus, he said, what in the world are you talking about? You're crazy. Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb, be born a whole second time? Why in the world would I do that? I don't need to do that. I already know everything. See, that's where the whole rub is. What's so hard for him to understand, what's so hard for us to understand, is that we really don't know. We really have nothing to contribute, that all our vast knowledge, all that we think we know, is not going to help us one iota. What's so hard for us to accept is that there's only one thing to know, and that is Jesus. So I'll give you a little parable. Maybe this, I think it helps a little. I read this a while back. There was a woman once upon a time. She was going to set out. She wanted to discover the meaning of life. And so first thing she read, everything that she could get her hands on, religious knowledge, historical, philosophical. Then she went and she talked to smart people all over. She became quite intelligent herself, but she just still hadn't found, like she really found the answer she was looking for. So finally she decides she's going to start traveling all over the world to find this answer. And she travels searching, and she talks to all these people. No one could completely give her the answer, but it kept coming up that there was this one particular man who was said to know the meaning of life. And so finally, she searches him out. She finds him deep in the Himalayas, and she climbs to the front door of his little hut. And when he answers the door, she says to him, I've come halfway around the world to just ask you one question. What is the meaning of life? And the man said, well, please come in. We'll have some tea. And so while he's brewing the tea, she's telling him everything, all the books she's read, all the places she's been, all the people she's talked to. And she's so busy talking that as the gentleman is pouring her tea, she doesn't even notice. The cup is full and it's overflowing all over the table. It's flowing onto the floor. And finally, she stops talking and she says, what are you doing? Can't you see the cup is full? There's no more room. And he says, yes, just as well. You come wanting an answer from me, but there's no room in your cup. Come back when your cup is empty and we'll talk. See, that's the problem with Nicodemus. It's the problem with us. Our cups are full. We're so busy pretending that we know it all, like the devil, like Adam and Eve, like Nicodemus. And Jesus is telling us there's nothing to know except this. Be born again. Repent. Become a little infant that only knows one thing, faith. Believe in Jesus Christ, the only one who knows it all, the only one who really knows us, and the only one who came from heaven to give his life on the cross for our knowledge of evil and to be raised from the dead for our salvation. Now, this is really significant. Keep in mind that after this, This same Nicodemus was the one who was there when Jesus died. Two men were there to take the body of Jesus and bury him. One was Joseph of Arimathea, and the other was Nicodemus. So was Nicodemus born again? Did he come to believe in Jesus? He was there to take Jesus' body. He had the myrrh and the aloes to go and prepare the body for burial. Now, we don't hear about him after that, but you can venture that he was one of those that was later baptized and became a disciple of Jesus. See, that's what happens when you don't try to know it all, but instead you try to know Jesus above all. And finally then, today, you know, Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday gets us thinking about the creeds because we use this Athanasian Creed. We only use it once a year. But creeds, I know I've said this before, so pardon me for being a broken record, but creeds are just so important. They are so important. We have to be able to say, this is what I believe. Because what we're confessing, of course, when we confess these creeds, is we're also confessing what we don't know. Okay? So if I say, I believe in God the Father Almighty who made heaven and earth, then we're also confessing that I'm not God the Father. I didn't make heaven and earth. And when we confess, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, we're confessing, I am not Lord, but Jesus, my Savior, is my Lord. And then, of course, and in the Holy Spirit, right? I believe that the Holy Spirit has given me faith, caused me to be born again, and I didn't do any of that. It is so crucial to be able to confess, I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who created me, redeemed me, and has given me faith. And what we're doing, of course, is we're confessing there, we don't know it all. We're going back to the Garden of Eden, and we're yelling at that serpent, and we're saying, no, we don't believe you. We are not like God. We believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He knows all, and He loves us, and gives us salvation. And then we can finally say, as Paul says today in the epistle, from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.